This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1973. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, primarily the dynamic medium of international shortwave between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, recorded March 11th, Alaska, Australia, Brazil, Canada, Chad, Congo, Cuba, Japan, Korea South, Madagascar, Mali, Northern Mariana Islands, Philippines, Romania, South Africa, Spain, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Mike Terry forwards news from the Christian Chronicle that Maurice Hall, founder of World Christian Broadcasting, has died. That's based in Franklin, Tennessee, but his vision eventually led to the creation of KNLS in Alaska, and later to the sibling station Madagascar World Voice. He died March 8th at his home in California, 3 days before his 99th birthday. Zacharias Vyangas in Greece reports hearing an English ID from one of Brazil's missionary stations, Radio Voz Missionaria, which has one of the better signals on the 31-meter band all night, 9664.6 variable. But he heard this on March 6th at 2320. Listen to his recording, and they're calling themselves in English RVM Radio, rather redundantly, and giving a P.O. Box address. In the Ontario DX Association, Mark Cody refers to a notice from NAV Canada that all their aeronautical beacons are being decommissioned. The country's provider of air traffic control. They operate in long wave and lower medium wave band, as well as VHF VORs, and where necessary, replacing them with RNAV runway approach systems for airplanes equipped with GNSS equipment. The decommissioning is expected to take 7 years, but you still might want to hurry up and log as many of the especially medium and long wave beacons as you can. I've heard some of them. He has a list of the ones that will be decommissioned by April 25th of this year at 0901 UT. The Canadian beacons are mostly distinguished by broadcasting a dash in between IDs, unlike the American ones, and most but not all of them have call signs starting with the letter Y. One of them on this initial list I recognize as having logged myself quite recently was YOG at Ogoki Post. Ivo Ivanov, Bulgaria, noted that the target broadcast against Boko Haram, designed for the French-speaking side of Lake Chad, Radio Andrasan International, was missing from some of its broadcasts. March 27th and 28th, between 18 and 21 UT via Ascension on 12050. Also nothing heard for the morning broadcast of 07 to 08 via Wolverton 13810 on February 28th or March 1st. However, he follows up that the 12050 broadcast was being heard again, curtailed to only 2 hours at 19 to 21 UT. This usually has a problem, blocking by WEWN in Alabama on the same frequency at the same time. But sometimes, rather often in fact, Radio Católica Mundial is missing, such as March 9th at 19:38, when Radio Andrasan International was in the clear on 12050, with announcements in French and the local language, presumably Kanuri. And they were also mentioning terrorism and Boko Haram. Ron Howard in California reports, Radio Congo 6115, surprisingly good reception, probably his best ever. March 5th, signing on at 0540, due to extremely unusual propagation, he says, that greatly favored the Congo instead of normally domination by RN2 in Japan. He was only hearing that far underneath Congo. This was all with announcers, no music at all, as is normal for this time period. By 0550, Japan started to get slightly stronger and interfering more. We're now into a month of confusion at Radio Havana, Cuba, since they have had to adopt Yankee daylight shifting time. But the seasonal frequency changes are always made about a week after the beginning of official HFCC seasons. That'll be the first week in April. Of most importance for us concerning time changes for the English broadcasts as of Sunday, March 10th, I've confirmed the first one has moved from 20 UT to an hour starting at 19, still on 15140. And strangely enough, DXers Unlimited started just after the top of the hour instead of later on during the hour as usual. The next broadcast, supposedly to Africa, but putting in a very strong signal here, has moved an hour earlier, as would be appropriate for a DST on shift, even though that makes no difference in Africa. It's now at 21 UT and still on 9720. Actually, that's much better for Africa, although it's only by coincidence since it's no longer after midnight in all of the continent. The midnight UT broadcast in English on 5040 has made its usual shift 1 hour earlier, now at 23 UT. That's the one, of course, for the closer areas in the Caribbean, but we also hear it in North America. Now, the 6-hour North American service in English usually is running from 02 until 08 UT during winter time, but after a rather rocky start when they went off DST last November, it resumed running roughly between 01 and 07 UT. So will it still do that now that the clocks are 1 hour ahead in Cuba? I'm not sure when it's starting now, but only one frequency was on the air after 06 UT, and that was 6,000 kilohertz early Monday, March 11th. So it remains to be seen if they're still going to try to run 4 or 5 frequencies until 07. The Esperanto broadcast made its usual shift 1 UT hour earlier Sunday at 15 UT, still on 15140 and 11760, although the Cubans are unaware of the higher frequency. And an anomaly I've not noticed before this time, those two were not synchronized, separate playouts about 1 minute apart. The next Esperanto broadcast, the final one actually, has moved an hour earlier to 2230 UT, heard on 15730 with quite subtorted modulation. The first one has been running at 07 UT, even though announced at 08, and it was still at 07 on 6100 March 10th. Also, rather predictably, it seems that all of the Spanish language programming from Radio Habana Cuba has shifted 1 UT hour earlier, including En Contacto, the DX program by Arnie Coro. I confirmed it at 1335 UT on many frequencies. The next broadcast about 2245, and the final repeat should now be at 0140 UT Mondays. Of course, something is always wrong at Radio Habana Cuba, and any of these details may not apply on any particular occasion. Ron Howard in California reports an interesting development on 5006. Starting on March 7th at 12:36, a strong carrier heard daily through March 9th, and also heard by Jim Young in California. He said, I became aware of this while checking for Nepal on 5005. On March 8th, Hiroyuki Komatsubara in Japan was also hearing this open carrier on 5006 as well as on 8006. So he made an observation that those two frequencies were in parallel years ago, broadcasting CW from Japan, the low-powered JG2XA with an HFD project, meaning high-frequency Doppler. But that station had been silent for a long time. So Hiroyuki first noted that 8006 also had an open carrier, which Ron says he then also heard. So who is broadcasting these new daily open carriers? Well, it is JG2XA. More news from Mr. Komatsubara, says he got a reply by email. It resumed operation. Hosokawa at the University of Electrocommunications says, I was in charge of sending shortwave till last year after Mr. Tomizawa retired. I am taking over the transmission and reception system. Thanks for informing us that we could receive 2 transmitted waves. Currently, we started trial operation with the aim of resuming stationary observation at both frequencies. Continuous carrier is being carried out so far, but I'm planning to add a call sign, presumably in CW, that will be easy to distinguish. This is a pilot operation and a possibility of intermittence, so please check back. This is for ionospheric research using radio waves. But of course, it's a shame that it's going to interfere with reception of Nepal if it has to be on 5006. That reminds me, no doubt, something totally different, but I was unusually hearing some interference to WWV on 5 MHz at 0625 UT, March 11th. It was a Ute blob of noise, far too close for comfort around 5002 or 3. Last week, Ron Howard reported hearing for the first time an English language lesson from Echo of Hope, or VOH, from South Korea on 4885. That was on Sunday, but he's continued to hear it subsequent days, such as on March 6th at 12:45, March 7th, 3 hours earlier, already in progress at 09:52. So it seems VOH is running a 3-hour program loop, the same shows being heard every 3 hours. And on March 8th, he heard the beginning of the English lesson at 12:38 UT, and it lasted 20 minutes. One of the announcers was Happy Isaac. He found online the Isaac Communication Center, ICC, responsible for these English lessons, called EBS Radio Tour Easy Fun English. More about the reactivated shortwave transmitters in Bamako, Mali, as first reported last week. Two transmitters relaying China Radio International, and one transmitter on two different frequencies with the national service ORTM. They have been heard during the following week, but on a somewhat irregular, sporadic basis. However, of particular interest is the domestic service on 5995 in the evenings. Manuel Mendez in Spain reports on Saturday, March 9th, came on the air at 1801 UT. But at 1850, they had news in English about Mali and other African countries, and some other comments, until a summary of African and other news mentioned at 1904, an ID. They said they would be back in English next Saturday at the same time, 1906 ID in French and into vernacular. So that's the time to hear English from Mali, only on Saturdays before and after 19 UT, 5995. And of course, over here and in other areas, you may need to use a remote receiver much closer to Mali in the darkness, or almost in the darkness. The CRI relays had times have been on only one of the two transmitters, but Ivo Ivanov rounds up the full schedule where they may appear depending on how they're both working. These are 1 hour each unless otherwise obviously mentioned. At 14 and 15, 13685 and 17630 in English. At 16, 15125 and 17880 in Arabic. At 17, 13645 and 15125 in Swahili. At 18, 11640 and 13645 in Hausa. At 18:30, now we're back to a full hour, or almost so, 11640 and 13685 in Arabic. At 19:30, 11640 and 13630 in Portuguese. At 20, and this is for a sesqui hour in English, 11640 and 13630. 21:30, 11975 and 13630 in French. And 22:30, 11975 and 15505 in Chinese. As for the domestic service, the schedule, nominal schedule, according to the WRTH, is 9635 between 08 and 18 UT, and 5995 from 0555 to 08 and 18 until midnight. And occasionally it has been heard as late as midnight UT, although not as often on the air by 0600. the medium, high, very high, and super high frequencies, World of Radio, 1973, a non-commercial program. Also providing the non-commercial website, worldofradio.com, and the non-commercial publication, DX Listening Digest. Thus, all of which depend on voluntary financial support. Our thanks this week for a check in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank from Ann Finelli in Elma, New York, to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702. One may also contribute via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO at yahoo.com. Is the Saipan transmitter site really back on the air? According to Radio Free Asia, it is, since they sent a QSL to Bill Harms in Maryland, who had heard the RFA Korean service on 9985 at 1530 and at 21 UT. However, I'm afraid that RFA cannot be trusted to verify accurate info about their own clandestine broadcasts. We need someone to perform direction finding, such as the TDOA technique, to confirm that frequency is actually coming from Saipan or Tinian, of course, right next to it. One could not really tell them apart. Bill Harms has been listening via a remote receiver in Japan, where he says the signal is very strong, but it could be coming from anywhere in East Asia or the Pacific. My suspicion is that it could actually be via Tinang, Philippines, which is supposedly not allowing RFA broadcasts via the site there, while VOA Korean and other languages are okay. I know RFA was trying to get permission, at least temporarily, to do that once the typhoon wiped out their transmitters in the Northern Marianas. On the other hand, here's a minor clue that it might be Saipan or maybe Thailand rather than Philippines, since I found 9985 off-frequency, which we know is something those two sites have done in the past, March 10th at 1502 in Korean. And at that hour, it's presumably Radio Free Asia. Furthermore, I was hearing VOA in Korean before 15 UT March 10th. It was off by a similar amount above 11570 at 0.040, 40 hertz above, while 9985 was 36 hertz off frequency. Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria is not convinced either that Saipan is the source of 9985 RFA Korean. He lists this as an unknown site at an unknown azimuth. In Shortwave Bulletin, Ulmarkvik in Sweden has an item of amusement about FEBC Philippines interfering with itself on 15450 at 0930 to 10, a Tibetan language on 15450, quite a good signal, but sometimes strong interference, which he found out was coming from the other site in the Philippines of FEBC. That is, one of them via Iba at 330 degrees, and the other via Bokaui at 245 degrees. But that does not eliminate the risk of interference, which they did not seem to realize. This week we also had a report that Radio Romania International had been showing up on offset frequencies by 1, 2, or 3 kilohertz from its correct channels, one of the transmitters at Galbeni. This was observed March 4th and 5th. Ivo Ivanov put together the entire roster of observations. I'll mention the frequencies one after another. He reported, of course, these are only approximations. They're not on the exact kilohertz steps. 5979, 6129, 6154, 6019, 6144, 9608, 9768, 15427, 15377, 15257, 15252, 15457, and 11972. Oops, there are more on the next page. 9808, 5989, and 6029. Some of those are in DRM. Bill Harms has put together a tribute to Myerton now that the South African shortwave site is about to close down at the end of March, illustrating many QSLs he's received over the years from Radio RSA, Channel Africa, and other stations transmitted via Myerton. It's at his website, which is qsl.philcobill.com, and he has lots of other QSLs on his blog. Radio Exterior de España observed International Women's Day March 8th with special programming because a strike by women. Maybe that's all they could do, just play records rather than producing normal programming as heard March 8th at 21:35 past 2300 on 9690 and others. They're also playing music, Phil, on 12030, but not the same music. That is the service which separates for the Mideast during certain hours. Kim Elliott says, casually mentioned in an Asia Radio Today piece, is that Voice of America is going to launch a DRM shortwave service in the next few months. It's written by who else? Roshanda Obreja, the chair of the DRM consortium. She also said, according to this story, radio is a cockroach. You cannot kill it. She also claimed this would be the first DRM digital radio from the USA. Well, that's overlooking WINB, which has already been doing it. And she also says, Cyprus and Oman are also using shortwave DRM for transmissions, which we know is not true. As Kai Ludwig says, it's an apparent waste of time to discuss any further the claims made in this article. The WRMI schedule grids have been updated partially as of March 10th due to the imposition of daylight shifting time upon Florida and most of us in the U.S. As I explained last week, all the programming on 9955 shifts 1 UT hour earlier, so it will seem to be at the same local clock time during DST. The other WRMI frequencies do not make this shift except for the system being carried on 9395 and 5950 for the relays in English of Argentina and Albania. At 0200, they have now shifted to 01UT until 02, bringing along with them the World of Radio fill-in UT Monday at 0130 instead of 0230. But I see some additional times for World of Radio now on the schedule. Thank you, Jeff White. They are UT Monday at 0230 on 7780 and UT Tuesday at 0100 on 7780. That's immediately following the Tuesday Midnight 30 broadcast on 7730. No time shift yet in New South Wales, but Tim Gaynor has given us an additional hour on his low-power station, Unique Radio, 5045 LSB. On Tuesdays between 09 and 10 UT, he's airing both the newest and the previous World of Radio edition back-to-back. For the latest updates on the times of all World of Radio broadcasts on all our stations and platforms, click on the link at our homepage, worldofradio.com. And also, we have a separate schedule of many other DX, SWL, and media programs, which has also been updated for the daylight shifting time season. We almost missed the passing of a great voice on the radio. February 16th, Robert Conrad on WCLV's Weekend Radio reminded us of Ken Nordine, Chicago, creator of Word Jazz, a voice that could give you the chills, has died at the age of 98. There were stories about this, obituaries, both in the Chicago Sun-Times and Chicago Tribune, which we've linked in the new DX Listening Digest. Rick Cogan in the Trib says it would be a good idea for you to listen to whatever you can find at www.wordjazz.com. You will discover the one and only voice of Ken Nordine, one of the few people in the history of radio to use the medium to its fullest potential, rather than as a form for blather, confrontation, inanities, and noisy nonsense. He made a kind of vocal music as the voice of thousands of commercials and is the force behind a new art form he created called Word Jazz. Among the artists he influenced in paying tribute to him is Laurie Anderson. That's by Maureen O'Donnell in the Sun-Times, and she continues with her obit. Ken Nordine had a voice that launched 1,000 radio shows, commercials, movie trailers, and spoken word records. His voice was a dulcet earworm that burrowed into the subconscious during more than 40 years of performing Word Jazz, a midnight show on WBEZ that showcased his Hepcat persona, stream of consciousness wordplay, and psychedelic sound effects, such as a slowed-down clock or dripping water. His son said his intonation and tones were so unique that companies would come to him to create their commercial based on his style with Word Jazz. Film Festival founder Michael Kutzes said Nordine was an innovator and early adopter of new technology. In his Film Festival spots, he was a one-man band. He did the visuals on his computer, he did the music, he did the voice. The man was magic. Filed under World of Horology, this story via Mike Cooper from the Washington Post of March 8th. Springing forward to daylight saving sick time is obsolete, confusing, and unhealthy, critics say. It's by Joel Aschenbach. Here, just a bit of that long story. The law may change. The national policy of switching from standard to daylight saving time and back again is under legislative challenge from coast to coast. Multiple initiatives in Congress and in state houses would terminate our current system of time toggling, a system that started a century ago and has been controversial ever since. It's not really DST that's drawing fire, it's standard time. Senator Rubio of Florida reintroduced a bill to make DST a year-round reality across the country, with no more biannual time changes. Representative Vern Buchanan, Republican of Florida, introduced matching legislation in the House. The moves come in the wake of a vote in the Florida legislature last year to adopt DST year-round. There are two issues here. One is whether changing the clock is inherently a bad idea because of sleep disruption, negative health effects, and general confusion generated by a jumpy time system. The other issue is whether we need to favor the evening over the morning when trying to distribute our sunlight, not just during spring and summer and early fall, but throughout the year. There is one massive objection to the idea of year-round DST. The already dark, cold mornings of fall and winter under standard time would become even darker and colder, and potentially dangerous for kids walking to the bus stop or to school. National PTA is opposed to daylight saving time during the winter months because of the safety factor, said Heidi Mae Wilson, spokeswoman for the National Parent Teacher Association. Critics say DST is an artifact of a different era. One of the purported virtues of the switch has been that it saves energy, but there's no evidence that in the modern world, shoving daylight into the evening hours saves significant amounts of energy. When the sun remains in the sky in the evening, homes remain warmer and people are more likely to keep their air conditioners running. Heating and cooling are much bigger factors than lighting when it comes to energy consumption, says Matthew Cochin of Yale University. And somebody got my message of what the S in DST should really stand for. I quote, a stylebook note, it's not daylight savings time, that's imprecise speech. Also, while we're at it, daylight saving time does not really save daylight. It should be called daylight shifting time. The propagation outlook from Boulder, geomagnetic field activity expected to range from quiet to G1 minor geomagnetic storm levels, expected 11 March, due to possible glancing blows from coronal mass ejections 3 days earlier. Active conditions expected March 12th to 15th due to waning CME activity, followed by HSS effects from a negative polarity coronal hole. Unsettled to quiet March 16th and 17th. Numerically, ANK indices peaking at 30 and 5 on March 11th, gradually declining to 5 and 2 by March 17th, but another lesser peak to 10 and 3 on March 20th, and then another high peak up to 30 and 5 around March 27th. Solar flux dipping to 69 between March 14th and 28th before climbing up to 71 by March 30th. Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio, 1973.